And welcome, 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 dear listeners. This is your Business and Economic Zone, your BEZ here with me, Dwight, on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. So, where we find ourselves, guys, in terms of, well, this edition of tonight, in terms of still being on the sports economy, and I'm going to be ending up tonight with that discussion, mainly because I'm going to end it off with the last component that has also been a major industry itself heading into the rest of the world. And this is also where this specific component of the sports industry has also been labeled as a key growing sport across the world. It's a growing sport, mainly because of the amount of money that is found, especially in that specific sector. But before I get there, I just have to stress once again a promise that I made last night to you, the listener out there. For those of you who want to call in, you can call in at 083-288-401. You can actually start right now. You can still come through, as long as we're not talking about toothpicks or Namibia, or factories that Namibia still has to factor in. Because with sport, you don't need to establish a factory anywhere. You really don't. There is no need for value addition. There is only where you can... Well, there actually is a need for value addition. There actually is. But the key thing here is Namibia is rich with athletes. We have a resource. It's right there. It's the youth. It's the next superstars for tomorrow. It's the next superstars that will represent our country somewhere else. And just earlier today, I read in one of Namibia's daily newspapers that Pitu Shalilile has justified his next earnings increase with Mamelodi Sundowns in being the club's top five earners. Now, if you're a football club's top five earners, guys, that means you're one of the most valuable players in the team, in the squad. You're one of the top five earners, the top 10 earners. Doesn't matter what ranking it is that people would justify it in a professional football club. You are one of the most valuable players in the squad. You are part of the cluster of the most valuable players in a squad, in a football team. But that's not where I ended off with last night. I give you another example with regards to infrastructure development, with regards to spin-off industries and sectors, with regards to other key skills development programs that can take place. I stress this because the medical industry in Namibia would greatly expand, as well as also benefit, if we have a professional sports platform allowing the surgeons, the physiotherapists, the doctors or specialists associated to sports to be trained here. UNAM would be able to expand their own medical department. They would be. NUST would be able to expand their paramedic department. They would be. There would actually be an active industry whereby knock-on, or you can call it either knock-on benefits or, spin-off benefits, in terms of you have the main industry, which is the sports industry, which is an entertainment industry, generating these other smaller ecosystems or other smaller industries wherein they thrive. They thrive in it, guys. Now, if you had to look at South Africa, almost all South Africa's big universities have an active sports program, but not a sports program about, there are athletes that are part of the various sports codes affiliated to the university. No, the sports program has a sport science faculty or a course. They've got a sports administration course. Then there's another one, sports something courses. There's also one affiliated to the laws and understanding contracts, professional contracts as well. A branch out in that. Sports psychology is also there because these are athletes. These are humans, fellow humans that you're dealing with. Look at all those components that allow you to generate sectors or industries that support one main sector and industry. Look at all that potential. Look at all that, which Namibia clearly has space gap opportunity for. We've got it. Now, let's understand this, guys. An execution of a major sporting event helps in developing infrastructure. It helps in generating employment. It helps in securing an influx or an inflow of foreign capital. It helps with generating more players and athletes, and also contributes significantly to economic development in a country. It does. It does. There are, of course, certain negatives that sometimes are being witnessed, but let's factor in certain points. I mean, what happened with various kinds of countries that hosted a football World Cup? And I know Namibia is nowhere close to hosting a football World Cup, even though Namibia and Botswana are aiming to host a continental competition in the country. I mean, we actually stand a better chance than what Burkina Faso had way back in 1998 when we sent the Brave Warriors to the first edition there to in 1998. And I know that team that we sent there, Burkina Faso had, I think, only two fields. They only had two stadiums. They had two stadiums for players, for the teams to operate on. Now, taking a look at what was, as opposed to what is supposed to be the template you've got to work with, I mean, well, no one can come close to South Africa's infrastructure. No one. But Namibia and Botswana can at least provide a proper scenario with regards to sports development or developing their own sports industries to the next level. I know if the CAF situation is feasible for Namibia and Botswana, because I say if, because the recent announcements with regards to people moving between borders with regards to Namibia and Botswana only, you know, not banishing but abolishing, you know, passport travel between the two countries, actually does play hands and makes it a lot quicker or a lot more feasible in promoting or motivating how people can move between the two countries in their bid to host it. That's how the African Nations Cup, the CAF African Nations Cup. So the recent developments with regards to the border post there between Namibia and Botswana, it's exactly playing into that role. It hasn't been singled out with regards to the CAF, the CAF AFCON, but if you think about it, two countries hosting.
Kukuruga na yowamba, kukuningsa ozere, nukusespika na mpito domgara mokagura mkisigemeke. Ramangako, uwera o HIV. Ayo, kukupoperan, tani kuiruga na maokoko. Tokoras gara, ninka wa kukuruga na yowamba. Mokutura moe hundiro liye yowamba zu maokoko, di mogwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa numero zoe utantandatu zime, ntatwe utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook, kwa VMMC Namibia.
Now coming back from that quick break, what I left off just before the break was this announcement between Namibia and Botswana in terms of that you only need an ID between the two, you know, citizens of both countries in order to move and travel between the two countries, as well as also for goods and services to move just as quick and just as easily. You like people, does actually motivate the case for these two countries in bidding together for the continental competition. It's probably one of the best moves they've made, because all the other countries were looking at hosting it themselves, being greedy. Let me not add in the word greedy, but yeah, but the template has been you host it yourself. You try to develop your own tourism sector and, you know, sporting sector and so on. And Namibia and Botswana are actually doing the best play that exists out there. Kudos to them. Good stuff. give yourselves a good round of applause. However, Namibia and Botswana are way better than this. Namibia and Botswana actually have the potential of mimicking what South Africa has been doing for the past 30 years. Having a flourishing ecosystem of a sports industry, of a sports economy. A flourishing one. Now, in India, and I'm also going to use India because India is just like us in the developing country bracket. India is not a developed country. Even though they have 1 billion people in their population size, Namibia has 2.5 million people estimated. India's sports ministry focused on increasing the sports facilities in their country. So what does that mean? That means their ministry took it upon themselves as a mandate. Let's invest in infrastructure in the country. Look, guys, in terms of infrastructure ownership, each country around the world has their own unique scenario of who maintains, looks after, and is in ownership of the infrastructure. Ideally, in Namibia's case, it would have been the NFA to be in ownership of Sam Nujoma Stadium and Independence Stadium. Because these are two venues where Namibia had played international football on. It would have ideally been the scenario. Extra onto that, it would have allowed the NFA to rent out the facilities to, for example, concerts, various kinds of cultural events, various kinds of other socio-economically cultural events as well that bring in more money. Or, as you would call it, salient money or extra money or extra financing. It's not supposed to be for the state. Because if we look at the scenario that we currently find ourselves in, who, in essence, the ownership scenario of, if you had to look at the National Rugby Stadium, it's actually for the NRU, for Namibia Rugby. It's for Namibia Rugby. And I know a few years back, the Namibian Rugby Union had some financial issues and some of the negotiations were about where this government was telling through the Ministry of Sport, you know, let's take ownership as the government or the state of the rugby stadium. And the rugby union was holding out on it because they said, but if we want to have matches there and promote the sport, we should have the facility or access to the facility, which has been justified in that decision. That decision has been justified in terms of how strong the sport has gone from strength to strength to strength. Now, here's another scenario in terms of infrastructure. It will allow various kinds of, I hope, if we had to look at the procurement side of things in our country, it will allow engineering firms and companies in Namibia to also expand their service provision to facilities. Guys, I kid you not. You find a stadium or sports facilities in most towns in Namibia. If Namibia's Ministry of Youth, not Ministry of Youth. Yeah, it's the Ministry of Youth and Sport. If Namibia's Ministry of Sport invested in all sports facilities across this country that are in ownership of a local authority, or in one other way, owned by the public sector, I mean, i.e. government in one or other indirect form, we would actually be promoting not just the construction industry, but you would actually be allowing local industry or local economies to slightly see, oh wow, there is some investment taking place in the sports facilities in my town. i.e., now we can actually think about playing a lot more soccer there, or a lot more rugby there, or a lot more hockey there, or a lot more netball there. And that's just an idea coming from India. That's just an idea coming from India. Because I don't think if we had to look at the current situation in our economy, if we just looked at our economy like it is right now, a lot of the concerns has been jobs. A lot of the concerns has been the fears of prices running out of control with regards to what we can afford in the shop, what your $100 can afford you when every month when you get paid. Now, since our Ministry of Tourism, that's the Ministry of Environment, Forestry and Tourism, has been on this campaign to revitalize Namibia's tourism, because Namibia's tourism contributed a lot to the economy. Not beating agriculture nor the mining industries, but it did provide a lot in terms of direct, foreign exchange value into Namibia's foreign reserves. However, you can boost that even further if the Ministry of Environment spoke to Ministry of Sports and asked them, hey, listen, if you're going to get into this CAF AFCON thing, we need to look at a roadmap that's even longer past the CAF scenario. You've got to look at something that allows the economy not just on a full country scale, on the whole country platform, but also on micro levels within towns or local authorities or within regional authorities. Remember the regional development discussion point that I pressed on a lot in recent weeks here on the BEZ? It would actually play into that initiative, directly in line with the regions going like, oh, okay, so we can have some sort of a regional development plan. It would actually play square into that role. Because remember, guys, it's not just going to be CAF. Namibia would also want to host other international sports events here. And sports tourism is big money. Forget about big game hunting. Forget about hunting. Forget about looking at Namibia's dunes, going to Sources Flay. If you get sports events here on a continuous basis, just because your facilities and your infrastructure is top notch, you will be raking in more money than you can even think of. In the United States, in South Africa, let's just stay on the continent. In South Africa, if they host tournaments, if they host concerts for pop stars, for musicians, for various musicians sometimes, where do they host them? At sports facilities. So what will that also do? The entertainment industry, because sport is technically the entertainment industry, but the other side of the entertainment industry will see a benefit. There will be centralized state-of-the-art infrastructure where they can host big scale events. You'll come and ask me about grass. How do you water the grass? Just to help you guys, what does Samnioma have for a turf? What does Samnioma Stadium have for a turf? I almost said astroturf, but it is artificial pitch, that artificial grass situation. That thing has been applied to hockey. That thing has been applied to rugby. That same thing has been applied to various other instances where the athletes just have to get used to the touch and feel between real grass and artificial grass that feels almost like a walking on plastic or plastic, little plastic things. But still, you can play on it. You can run on it with football boots. So the challenge is, guys, unfortunately, yes, the state will have to invest in this. Because if you ask corporate investment to invest in it, there might be somewhat of a cost percentage. And knowing how businesses think in the private sector, if they invest in infrastructure, they would like to extract profits. If profits are made and if there is to be recovery of said profits, the situation with regards to who gets to pay what fee to access the infrastructure becomes a problem. But if the state involves in it, meaning if government, if the Ministry of Youth, like in India, the Ministry of Sports, invested in infrastructure in their country because they found out that cricket is India's top sport alongside hockey, India is now experiencing a boom in their local soccer scene. They're experiencing a boom right now. The same also for China. I know. But still, we have to look at the Chinese as well. We have to look at them. They're also a developing country. Yeah, they still are, guys. They're also a developing country. So we've got to factor in where do we measure in? Leave that thing of middle to upper income class classification by the IMF and by the world. Leave those classifications. Leave them. Look at the scenario in terms of what South Africa, who's also a developing country, has done and is still thriving from. Still thriving from it. They're still thriving from their sports industry. You can have successful stories of rags to riches scenarios. People that come out of the most severe situations of poverty, becoming local heroes in their communities. You can have those fairy tale stories. And every time it's just South Africa producing athlete after athlete after athlete after athlete. So what's wrong with Namibia, guys? Why can't we tap into this 700 billion US dollar industry? Why can't we? What is so wrong with investing in infrastructure that can actually benefit a lot more people? What is so wrong? Now, at the top of the hour from 7 o'clock, just to let you know once again as a reminder, the phone lines will be open at 083-288-401. Come through. I don't want to be talking about toothpicks, please, guys. Nor why Namibia does not have factories. You don't need a factory for a stadium. You don't need a factory to build a stadium. You just need to invest in it. You just need to get the right skills to get going in terms of investing in the infrastructure, the sports infrastructure. I mean, guys, we've got high schools that have better sports infrastructure than our national teams. How is that possible? And that's through collective operation between parents, the school, they call it the school boards, and then the staff of the school. There are schools in this country that have better sports facilities than our national teams. Schools! Now, even onto that, guys. India identified, in terms of that investment, they hosted several international sports events after the 1982 Asian Games towards the ICC Cricket World Cup in 2011.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
The International University of Management, IUM, with the Umbo no number no wish we faguja, o mentirorongo o durataya academic year 2023, o kwapatruka, enderinapa if you record paparo mo education, ukano long if you koda, ida ugufe o health and social science, o show my fano information and communication technology, o strategic management and leadership, na taimonika no tourism, o show hospitality and event management, business administration ikuterera, environmental studies and postgraduate studies at Shota de Monica. Where are they? Monica ko website www.ium.edu.na. Ilo tarere po embiro da IUM dikulipo pepe. Mo venduka, mo nkure nguru, mo nkwe diva, no mo mpae. Ota de Monica. Where are to hangi kongo je ya venduka? 061 ongodi ne natunatu oma veri hamano inda komesho kufe tokorori rimonjira toiko mbona kuiwa inerao pamwena IUM.
Now coming back from our extended break right there, it gives you perspective, guys. Yes, you, the listener here on the BEZ, it gives you a perspective in terms of one of the easiest things to develop in our country. And it's actually one of the quickest ways to actually help uplift a tourism sector. Second onto that is also provide paid employment to athletes. and helps to spread the money even further in our economy. You can make money in professional sports. You can make money in Namibia. You can, guys. You can. Remember what last night's discussion centered on. It's all about the TV rights. It's not about you, the sport, or the sports representatives, having to pay a public broadcaster to show your sport. No. They need to come up with the advertising money to pay you, because you've got the product. I'll stress that again. And it's something disappointing that I've heard from the beginning, and I could not understand it for the life of me, guys. I still do not understand how someone can actually get free content just like that. Just like that. Free premium content. Just like that, without having to pay for it. And you need to pay for them. Well, the other TV broadcasting or corporation in this country obviously can see the opportunity that exists right there. They just need to come up with the dollars. You come up with the dollars. Listen, guys, I'm now in my very, very honest persona right now. When it comes to sport, very honest persona. Because it's an easy thing to develop. They are, the clubs are already there. The leagues are already there. The talent is already there. So what else do you need? What else do you need? What else do you need? All the ingredients are there at your disposal. What else do you need? So what happens? Well, I've now given you two branches in terms of how stakeholders can get hold and involved. Well, they're already there. They're already there. But they can get hold and take charge of Namibian sport. I mean, it's frustrating, guys, reading comments on social media about, yes, Namibia qualified for the Rugby World Cup of 2023. And then all Namibians will ask you, now what about Namibia soccer? Where is the soccer scene? And then on top of that, other Namibians will be asking, now if Namibia is qualifying every time for the Rugby World Cup, why are we not on the level of South Africa, the South African Springboks? Why are our guys not as professional? Not cult heroes? Guys, we produce wonderful soccer and rugby players now. But I'll tell you this. You would not even remember who was in Namibia's national football team last year. You won't remember. Because I sure didn't. I haven't remembered who was in that team of last year, when they competed at the COSAFA Championship. I didn't remember. I remember a handful of faces, but not the whole team. I can't rattle off the names like on my fingers. The same also for the rugby team. You would forget who played just now in France that got us the qualification. Because I'll tell you now, it was two different teams between when they went to Ivory Coast last year or earlier in this year, and the team that went now in August, no, not in August, in July, to France for the rest of the qualifications. They got us the qualify, they got us into the World Cup. They were two different teams. A handful of faces were still the same, like PJ van Lille. He featured in both qualification rounds. It's probably also his last stint in terms of participating for Namibia in next year's World Cup. But that's one name that I rattled off for you. One name. Now, if we want to have things like Hall of Fame, further investments in our sports, guys, we need to get into that $700 billion market. The global sports scene. The global sports scene. If you've got few footballers in the making that are playing barefoot football somewhere in Karatura or somewhere in some of the informal settlements around the country, that's your raw talent right there. It's your raw talent right there. Where are you looking for? Where are you going with things? Another thing that also helps in terms of boosting your sport even further is a notion of how you can actually attract other talents to your professional leagues. You guys remember all the foreign coaches that we here in Namibia tried to hire for our soccer, for our national team, for the Brave Warriors. At one stage, we had that Belgian, the guy who, for some reason, I could not understand how he thought about coaching Namibia. I forgot that guy's name. I really forgot. I only remember his face, but I forgot his name entirely. But that would actually allow us to have a choice. If you have a pro league set up in your country, you would have a better choice of options, or a better set of options to choose from international talent. If coaches want to come coach in your country, they'll bring the money with them as well. It's investment. The money gets to move into your country and out of your country. You know, you get to buy international talent, get them here. And so just the system continues to flourish. Look at the situation now in Europe, where all the European clubs are afraid of the English clubs because of the English clubs' purchasing ability in the football market. I know it's an unhealthy trend, but it has placed them in such a good position that the English club owners realized through their, because all of them are chairmen and they all sit at the, they all form part of the board of the Premier League, the English Premier League. They realized you've got to provide a better product that distinguishes your product from the rest of the European products. And if you had to look at all of the other European products, they're not offering the salaries or the wages that they offer you in England. The same in South Africa. There's a different product to what you find in Egypt, Tunisia, Morocco, Ghana, DRC, Nigeria, even in Zambia, even in Angola. If you had to look at the South African PSL right now, it's the most sustainable one. You get paid a fairly good wage for a footballer, and you can live on it. Now let's get the first call in on this. Eagle FM, good evening.
Oh yes, Dwight, good evening. You say today's our day.
Today's your day, Angabwane. You can go wild. You can go fresh and you can go free and wild.
And you say it makes me laugh. To say today, I'm actually telling you my honesty.
Mm.
Sorry, man. Sorry, you make me laugh. Mm. So I love the way you started it. You say, you guys, today I'm going to tell you from the bottom of my heart.
Mm.
And you must listen attentively. Because sometimes, really, we don't put things in action.
Mm.
Your discussion is actually in line with what some of the entrepreneurs here were talking about.
Mm.
Our collaborative efforts.
Mm.
Providing, and some of them, they in fact emphasize that issue that many a times we are saying that we are complaining about the financial capital. What is it?
The capital investment component.
That part.
Mm.
But we are not looking at the human capital.
Yeah.
Human capital to me, in terms of how we plan, how we organize our resources,
mm.
how we create a strategic partnership,
mm.
how we can, like in the football, last time you were also saying that, you see, the government cannot intervene, cannot interfere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we'll be suspended by FIFA.
Yeah.
That's not what you were saying the other day.
I did, Uncle.
And then I understand now, that's why the other time I said, hey, no wonder why the political leadership does not really want to interfere, which is true.
Mm.
And you were asking a question, why are we failing? Imagine, you know, our Salurile now.
Mm.
He was supposed to go somewhere, Belgium and Arab and wherever.
Mm.
And these guys from the South African, they say they had to adjust his contract.
It was to Egypt. They almost brought him to Egypt because they had been discussed. Because even before Pitso Mosamane left for England, because the story is that Mosamane has supposedly left to go and work in England as a technical director.
He was going to go with him.
Yeah, but he wanted to take Shalulile West to Egypt.
Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah. Now he has already left Al Ahly. Mosamane has already left Al Ahly, and Shalulile, if he went to Al Ahly, he would have been earning in US dollars and not in South African rands.
But I could have just gone, man. Oh.
It's not.
That's what I was thinking. When I was reading that thing, the 30 goals and what? And then I say, oh, why did he just go? Because he wanted from many places, Egypt and Belgium and many other ones.
Mm.
So now he could have just gone, so at least so that that side also, the brand, because we are talking about the brand also here.
Yeah.
And the people should be talking about our soccer.
Yeah.
And I know that the administrators, the managers there, they are failing. But we are also failing because, in fact, it was also in the form of a question.
Mm.
How do we go in there for us to market?
Mm.
Given the fact that our population is small, how do we convince the big multi companies?
Yes. Yeah.
Every time, Nedbank is sponsoring there.
Yeah.
These are the financial institutions that are sponsoring there.
Mm.
These are the things. So because it's only MTC that I normally see most of the time doing that. Friday I saw Manetti there at Eros. Because all those fields there, they are not even utilized.
Yeah.
Yesterday you mentioned about that thing.
Mm.
And the people are utilizing this Eros field, sports field, whether they have some social events, music, what. Are we using those, some of those facilities and turning them into this kind of social event that people start clearly paying, and then we could have some entrepreneurs who are coming in and mobilize for resources and all these things, you know?
Exactly.
So I really don't know how our sport, if it is, the problem is the managers, because I told you some of these things, the structures are already there. Everything is already there. And the structures are created. And it's the managers sometimes who are messing up.
It's the bare honest truth, Angabona, that you're speaking there. There's a, if you can call it an interference component, because a sport should never be held captive. A sport should never be held ransom. But Angabona, just hold on quickly. We're quickly stepping into a short break.
Paratus Mobile LTE. Everything you want, whenever you want it. Start uploading, downloading, liking, and sharing all your experiences with the world. Starting from 345 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT for postpaid. Get online with high-speed internet the way you want it. Visit paratus.africa/NA for more information.
Angabona, you've got an extra 30 seconds.
I can end up here. What I'm trying to say is I'm just trying to see how we can mobilize. Let's say now, what are the entry points for the entrepreneurs to create a content, that you're able to convince the funders, a financial institution, the financial business people and things like that, so that they can come in and sponsor and then have that conviction so that we can see value in the things there. Well, how do we do it? What do you think? Because this is your profession also. It's your liking.
The quickest, Angabona, the quickest, just before you end off, is
maybe you can answer me when I'm on the off, so
right,
that everybody will benefit.
No problem.
Okay,
thanks, Angabona.
Cool, my brother.
Now, just to give a quick answer, and just to unbundle an answer as well, here's the first thing. If we take just Namibia's soccer, Namibia's football scene, the clubs have to restart a league. That's the bare honest direction. That's the quickest route in terms of getting the ball rolling. Start your league. Just start your league. Just play soccer. Whether you're one of the club chairmen, one of the club owners, doesn't matter what you are, if you find yourself in an ownership capacity of Namibia's football clubs, start a league. Just play the league. Just start football. From there, all the chairmen, they've got to select a CEO that represents them, because a Premier League is different from a football association. And they are not the same thing. Let's also understand that. If for all of us who try to understand what has been the misunderstanding in Namibian football, you just have to look at what's happening in South Africa. You have to look at what's happening in England, because those are the two footballing markets that we as Namibians admire the most, but you have to look at how the product operates. SAFA is the football association that subscribes to CAF. SAFA does not get involved in the PSL. The PSL is a unit, a company, a body on its own. Do we understand that? Opo, it's straightforward. There's no ambiguity there. There's no SAFA is involved here with the league. No. The PSL is an organization on its own. It represents South African professional football. That's it. That's it. So what needs to happen in Namibia? Well, straightforward. So we still have 10 minutes left. Namibians, the athletes, the owners of the sports clubs, get together, start your own, start the football league season. Straightforward. If you get the product moving, the product will speak for itself, meaning the competition, the popularity with fans. And what happens? Whoever's in charge of whatever form of Namibian Premier League football can take that and sell it to a TV broadcaster. And please believe me, guys, if you get told to pay for to broadcast your content by a public broadcaster, and I've heard this nightmare before, I could not believe my eyes. I could not, guys. I really could not. Do you know what made the PSL so successful? When they realized to cut out the SABC in South Africa, and they sold all their rights to SuperSport. Because SuperSport was serious about paying for content. SABC in South Africa, which has the same mandate like our national broadcaster, wanted things for free. If you make an executive decision about being in the pound seats, about really benefiting from your product, do not give it away for free. Don't. SuperSport made its name. SuperSport made its name on English football, not on PSL. Which also shows to you the warped business model that SuperSport had. Because before it became the PSL, the South African Professional League or the Premier League had a different name. It operated by a different name. And I'm talking about way, way back when you still saw Jerry Sikosana, when you still saw the Helmut Magaleles, when you still saw the Brendan Silence, when you still saw the Dr. Kumalos, who else was there? Brian Baloyi. When you still saw the big names of South African football, not these new kids, not these new guys who you're trying to understand what kind of football they're playing beautiful football, but you saw the big names and you really saw who Kaizer Chiefs was. That football league had a different name. It was struggling from season to season because they were trying to understand what is the most feasible, profitable solution. And what had been the biggest reason has been that they were dependent upon the SABC to broadcast their product, but the SABC was not coming to the party and buying or paying for the product. They weren't. If you go to England right now, it's not the BBC that is paying for the TV rights. The BBC can't broadcast football in UK. Do you know who broadcasts it? It's Sky TV, unfortunately owned by Rupert Murdoch. But it's Sky TV. Sky are the guys behind the money that has made the English football clubs so rich. SuperSport in South Africa are the guys behind what is making the South African clubs the most stable, or actually proving the PSL to be the most stable product, football product, on the continent. Better run than the Egyptians. Better run than the Nigerians. And how does the Zambian league get onto SuperSport? The Ethiopian league, and they had a civil war just the other day, get onto SuperSport. The the Nigerian Football League getting onto SuperSport? How did you get that? The Angolan League was there before, was also there. The Botswana League was also there on SuperSport. How does it get there? How does it get there? How? Because SuperSport is serious about investing. If you give it to a public broadcaster, let's be honest, guys, you won't get money. You will get no buck for your bang. You will get none. Or you will get no bang for your buck. Sorry for throwing it about. But you will get no bang for your buck. Let's be honest. And I know there are footballers listening to this talk. And I know there might be some coaches and some club owners listening to this talk. And if you've thought about the way of circumventing certain actors in Namibia's football scene or sports scene, it's a very easy thing that you can do. It's a very easy thing that you can do. All you have to do is get playing, and then you sell your product to who can come to the party with the money. For TV rights, get onto TV. Do not get onto Facebook. Facebook is not sustainable. No one has internet connections. Get onto TV. TV is still the king when it comes to sport. Not Facebook, not YouTube, not the fourth IR thinking capacity, direction, mentality, whatever you want to call it. Not that. Get onto TV. It is what made the NFL in the 1950s in the USA. It is what made, it is what made rugby league in the 1960s and 1970s in the UK and in Australia. It is what made cricket in India. It is what made rugby in New Zealand. It is what made rugby in South Africa. It is what is making rugby, cricket, and soccer in South Africa. Get onto TV. TV is still king in sports. Internet. Internet is for movies, guys. Internet is for us, media houses, the news guys. Internet is not for sport. Internet is not for sport. Get onto TV. It's TV's job to get the advertising money into your sport. Not you getting the advertising money to pay a public broadcaster. No. If a public broadcaster wants matches, they need to buy for it. They need to tender for it. They, in South Africa, they've got a public tendering process. Guys, you can, that article is for free somewhere on the internet, where SuperSport was awarded the PSL's broadcasting rights. It's there. SuperSport went and offered money. They didn't make jokes. They offered money. Now it shows you the level of stakeholder seriousness when people see there's a product that we can buy into. Get in there. Play the sport when you see how strong the competition levels get. And I mean, Namibia can easily have a Premier League where we can have at least 18 or 16 teams. As long as we've got good, second tier and third tier football ecosystems. Namibia can have it. Because you can drive through any town in this country, you will find a sports stadium there in this country. Get going. Do your part. Just start playing the football. And I'm not even into the esports component. We're not even there with esports. We're not even there. We're still trying to find a way of how to be a sports loving. We are a sports loving country. We're a sports mad country. But how to get into that industry in terms of how do we extract? How can we extract? Guys, it's the easiest thing. Do you know what? Even with sports events now, you won't even be able to, you will be so climate conscious because the possibilities are limitless with the sports industry. They are limitless. There's too much to talk about in this 1 hour here on the Business and Economic Zone. It's too much. It's not about building houses somewhere. It's not about building roads somewhere. It's not about the fishing sector. It's just sport. Sport can carry a significant part of our economy. A significant part. You don't need to build a factory. You don't need to build a factory. It'll be on the business community to build their own factories in order to quench the demand that stems out of the sports industry. It'll be their job, not the government's job. Their job. You don't even have to factor in catering in that industry. They didn't even list catering here because catering is so small and a sub-industry in the global sports industry. But people are making money at stadiums. They're making money. It's easy. It's there. It's for free in some cases. It's just there. Start something. But we're not doing it. We're not. In all honesty, guys, if you had to look at Namibia's football scene, there's a handful of people that are keeping our football hostage. If you had to look at our overall sports scene, it's a misguided and misunderstood direction that people are applying because they don't understand how professional sports works out there. For some reason, Namibians act, and yes, guys, I'm going to sound a bit offensive to us Namibians, but for some reason, we don't look at the international scene, bring ideas from there to here, adopt it here, because for some reason, other Namibians think, yeah, we don't need it. It's not necessary. So you forever want to be playing on dust fields and in, you know, stones and making things for jokes, but you want to perform internationally? How does your reasoning work? For some, at one or other stage, we've got to get serious. You know, to make use of a true African, you know, saying, ek is sick and sat for speeligies. Let's play the real games. Well, on that note, guys, yeah. On that note, just stay tuned for this ad break.
So, jy het gedoen. Jy het jou laat besny.
Jep.
Dit was baie dapper. Was dit nie frek seer nie?
Dit was net so effen seer, maar dis die moeite werd om myself teen seksueel oordraagbare infeksies te beskerm. En dis soveel makliker om skoon te hou.
Wel, as jy dit so stel, dan moet ek dit dalk ook laat doen.
Bra, dis die regte ding om te doen. Man Up, kry 'n besnyding. Om 'n gratis besnyding te bespreek of om meer uit te vind, stuur 'n WhatsApp boodskap na 081-309-2729 of besoek ons Facebookblad by VMMC Namibia.